Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you a lifelong fan of General Hospital?
Are you a new fan who wants to know more about the history of the show?
Do you enjoy talking about the show with others?
Do you find yourself yelling at the TV?
Is your self-care an hour a day in Port Charles?
If so, we invite you to join hosts
Amanda Kimmel
and Shannon Coach at the place where all the hidden conversations take place and secrets are revealed.
Meet us at Pier 54,
a General Hospital fan podcast. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the General Hospital recap for April 29th through May 3rd, 2024. So just a real quick note, we are going to be doing like a fan spotlight summer. So we would love to load up on fan spotlights. Okay, first and foremost, I know that I have apologized for this now like a million times. We literally have people that sent in fan spotlight responses last summer, and we have not interviewed them yet, guys. Both of our lives have been insane ridiculous. This past year.
It's been like, ridiculous.
Really, really random, weird stuff that has just really, like, we've barely been able to just keep the weekly thing working. I'm sure that you've noticed by now, like we've been doing Zoom a lot, and it's just because, yeah. Dear General Hospital, please help us.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had the money to like hire somebody, but yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, so, I mean, you guys know we do this ourselves and it's fun. I mean, I absolutely love it, but sometimes we just need to take a little, not a break, but yeah, we have responses from last May. It's been a year. I'm so sorry. Like, I haven't even emailed them. One person sent us a request in January and said, hey, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh. Can you tell me some stuff to do around the city? And I just pulled it.
Oh.
To be fair, most people don't really ask it. Like, most people, and it's fine if you do mention, like, hey, I'm coming to Pittsburgh, blah, 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 blah. If you're coming immediately to Pittsburgh, send us an email. Don't write it on the fan spotlight. So email us at pier54podcast@gmail.com. It'll definitely get responded to quicker than it being mentioned in the notes of the response. So yeah, I have nothing to say except for I am so, so sorry. But yeah, we definitely want to load up on our fan spotlights for the summer. And of course, we'll do like what we did last year, where we just replayed the cast members' interviews. But if something pops up in the meantime, we'll get that done. And hopefully we'll get a good bit of Bobby and Carly done before June. And that's our plan.
There you go.
But this week, we're going to talk about Nina and Ava's friendship because it's bonkers.
It is bonkers.
It is.
Like watching this week, it was just more so I was like, you guys are just crazy.
Well, and we could have done this topic 2 years ago, whenever they started to become friends. I'm very glad that we waited until this point because of the unraveling that's happening now.
Right.
It kind of makes you go back and think, yeah, why are you guys friends?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some articles. It's actually pretty interesting. And both women have commented on the even the idea that these women are friends, it's pretty cool.
Right.
And then we only have one Port Charles pop line. And that's from Chelsea. Hi, ladies. I watched Thursday, May 2nd's episode, which was a pretty great episode. I loved all the kids. Not a fan of the Georgie recast simply because Lizzie Fisher's resemblance to original Georgie is insane. Lily makes the character so much more special in every way. I hope they bring her back. I did read that that was a temporary recast. So it might have just been on availability. Of course, I couldn't find it when I went to. Hold on, let me just double check. Yeah. Juliette Donenfeld. Temporary recast of General Hospital's Georgie. Those who saw previews for today, May 2nd's episode, were a bit confused when they saw a young actress sitting with Lois and Violet. As it turns out, that young girl is recast Georgie. Juliet is stepping into the role temporarily, replacing Lily Fisher. As viewers know, Georgie is the younger sister of Maxie and Spinelli, younger daughter of Maxie and Spinelli, and named after Maxie's sister Georgie, who passed away. As for Donenfeld's credits, she has appeared as JJ in Netflix's WWE series, The Big Show, Better Call Sal, Good Girls, Station 19, and Sydney to the Max, just to name a few. In addition, she became the youngest nominee for an Annie Award, gaining recognition for voicing the character of Sally the Squirrel in the animated broadcast production of Pete the Cat.
Aww.
So, sounds like she's quite the talented young lady. But it sounds like it is temporary. And that was from Michael Fairman TV. So we know that he definitely does his due diligence.
Yes.
And then there was a recast on Aiden.
I know.
Okay, real quick. This is on soapsshenows.com. This is not this person's fault, but their name is Charlie Mason. It's close. Come on. Come on. That's close. Like, actually, you know what? They're more power to them. To, you know, they're like, I'm going to take back the name.
That's right. They're rebranding.
People are going to think of General Hospital, not murders. But then on General Hospital, there are murders. You know, they never did any. They should do something like Charlie Manson murders. That would have been a good one for Heather Weber.
That would have been a good one for Heather Weber.
Oh, that's what they should have done with the hook. It should have been her sending people out, because essentially that's what Charles Manson's vengeance was it actually wasn't against Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski and Abigail Folger and, oh my gosh, J.J. Sebring and then the Gardner.
You're insane. Go ahead.
I'm not insane. Harry Melcher actually used to live in that house, and Charlie Manson's actually a very talented musician. He sings really, really well, and he auditioned for Terry Melcher and was friends with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Oh, okay.
And Dennis Wilson. And, you know, he wanted to get to be like kind of like a part of the Beach Boys, be in that scene and everything. And when he was rejected,
the only logical thing to do,
he was not very happy about it. And so he sent his people out. They didn't know that Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski had like since moved in.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's your little history lesson.
Or Shannon's nerding out moment.
There are a lot of people who know that story. What else? Oh, back to Aiden. Sorry. That was it. Okay. So that would have been a good one though, to have Heather. You know, she's been in solitary for too long. Her mind really has started to spiral. This is where we're getting to. So she's like, I'm going to get these people to do my bidding.
Yeah.
And then seek revenge on everyone. Having her do it herself and now blaming it on cobalt poisoning, which we haven't even had another mention of.
Nope.
So who knows? All right. Back to Aiden. GH just swapped out a pair of its younger cast members, one permanently, the other temporary. Talking about Juliet Donenfeld stepped in for Lily Fisher, and Tristan Riggs is picked up where Enzo DeAngelis as Lucky and Sons Aiden. I actually feel like he looks a lot more like Lucky.
He does. I thought maybe that was why they did the recast, but I was just to the point where I was knowing who was who, and now I'm back to wait, which kid is that?
Right. But it's like he looks enough like the other one that I kind of did a double take where I'm like, did that kid grow up in 2 weeks? But it's he also went from having brown eyes to blue eyes. But there's that. It does say that Aiden's permanent, but it doesn't say any reason why. So,
okay. I mean, he did a good job. He was cute with Sasha trying to help with the food and stuff. That was adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm secretly hoping that maybe it's possibly hinting that maybe somebody could come back if we're going to make the kid look more like him.
Mm-hmm. I think you're wishful thinking, but I'm there with you.
I am 100% wishful thinking. I am perfectly well aware of that.
I'll wish with you, but I don't think that's ever happening.
Okay. Anyway, back to Chelsea's email. Sorry. Oh, but the reason I'm here. So she talked briefly about it for a second. But the reason I'm here is to see if you guys noticed one of the biggest screw-ups on that GH has let slip in a while. In the episode began, and Maxie says, Bailey Lou is with her mother, but she's been a terror lately, blah, blah, blah. The next scene, we see Felicia at work looking for a nurse to work another shift. Where the heck was Bailey? I feel like this is one of those things that it's where we don't understand the timeline of it, because we talk about this a lot with other things. Yeah. And it's like, but how is this happening at the same time as this was happening? But it bothered me the entire episode. I still can't stop thinking about it. Just wanted to see if either one of you noticed this mistake from Thursday's episode. I did not.
No, I did not either.
But I have noticed it on other times.
It's the same thing. Felicia is supposed to have the kids and then she's out doing something else.
Well, not just that. Sometimes it's daytime here and nighttime here. And you're like, wait, are these happening at the same time? Or is this?
Yeah.
I would love for someone to maybe try to explain the time thought process. Or is it just, we're just not supposed to question it.
Right. You're not supposed to question it. Soaps. What, everything can happen.
But I do love that. I love that catch. Great catch. Alrighty. Okay. On Monday, Ava confides in Nicholas. Anna asks Jason to help her investigate Valentine, thus inciting Shannon's additional rage. Drew makes Willow an offer. John confronts Jason. Nina finds herself in a tempting situation.
Oh, God.
On Tuesday, Jason questions Dex. Natalia shares her issues with Maxie. Sasha seeks comfort with Cody. Drew asks Nina for a favor. And Valentine has a proposition for Anna. On Wednesday, Nina is hopeful. Alexis receives a surprise visit from Natalia. TJ has growing doubts about Christina. Maxie develops a plan, and Elizabeth is concerned about Aiden. On Thursday, Willow questions her current career. Cody and Sasha have a heart-to-heart about their relationship. Gregory offers Tracy some advice, and Lois helps catch Brooklyn. On Friday, Sunny warns Dante about Dex. Carly has a realization about Sunny. Drew pitches a business project, and Jocelyn confides in Trina.
So we start on Monday and how stupid it was that Ava went to see Nicholas.
Yeah, let's just get that out of the way. Tells him that the relationship she's having with Sunny is the best that it's ever been, and says that she's been watching out for him.
Right. I'm now the closest person in his life. And Nicholas is like, are you falling in love with him? What are you doing?
Well, and it was pointless.
was the reason for the conversation just to tell us that they're moving him to a different prison, so we're not going to see him as much? Because that's the only bit of information that I feel like I didn't know before that conversation.
Well, no, we did know that because Laura told us that last week.
Oh, Laura did tell us that.
So there was absolutely no reason for any of that scene.
Yeah, you're right.
Because there is no chemistry between this Ava and Nicholas.
No, there's not. And their relationship has been over for so long, and he's going to be in prison for so long. It doesn't matter, even if there was. Like, you guys are not entertaining a relationship. So no. I don't understand why, like, I'm just going to brag to you that I'm living with Sunny now in a very unhealthy relationship.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't get it.
I didn't either. I mean, that's literally all that happened.
Right, and then you didn't see them again. Like, Ava went home, and that was it.
Well, and she confided in him that he's not taking his medication properly.
Right.
And tells Nicholas that she's not going to tell Sunny.
Right.
What part of her thinks that was a good idea?
Yeah. And even he's like, you're what? Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, no. Wait, you do like
if it was intentional.
Yeah.
And he asked if it was intentional. And she's like, what? No.
Right. Yeah. It was just stupid.
All right. So we can just move on from that then, because it doesn't lead us anywhere, but we can at least, it's over and done.
Didn't go anywhere else.
Nope.
What else happened on Monday?
Christina was walking and saw Dex and asked him straight to his face if asked him. And Dex was honest without giving away too much.
Yep. I did like Christina getting all the information this week and asking and being like, oh crap, Jocelyn was telling the truth. And then Jocelyn coming up and being like, what's going on? Are you guys okay? And then Christina being like, yeah, I asked Dex. So sorry that I called you out.
Right.
And Jocelyn was very like gracious about it. She wasn't like, nah, I told you so. She was like, yeah, it's a hard truth to swallow.
I did like Joss this week. I thought that she showed a bit of maturity until she started talking about changing her major, because why?
She doesn't even know why. She's just like, I'm not obsessed with it like I thought I would be, or but I think I should be.
Yeah, that's, yes, you need to be passionate about your work, but also you're not always passionate about everything that you do.
Right. And there's a difference between being passionate and being obsessed. The people who feel like they have to become a doctor and they can't see any other path and they stress themselves out about it so much, like, that's not healthy. You should be able to say, this is my goal and this is what I want, and work towards it without becoming obsessed about it. So,
right. And I think
it sounds
that,
like, she's at a good point.
And she saw where she mentioned Adam and his breakdown.
Right.
But she understands the entire situation around that was Adam wanted nothing. It was not his decision to become a doctor.
Right.
It was his parents, and he was not good at it. He was not obtaining the information. He was good at it. Okay. He was, but he was like killing himself to study.
He wasn't perfect. Yeah.
Right. And it was not a healthy career for him to get into. She's like, well, I decided I wanted to get into to be a doctor because of whenever I couldn't save, I wasn't sure if I could actually save Dex or not. No, honey, that's why you go and take a first aid course and you get CPR certified. You know, and Carly isn't going to tell her exactly what to do, but I feel like Carly would have guided her away from becoming a doctor if it wasn't something other than the fact that Dex had been shot and she had to help him, you know?
Right.
Exactly. She'd have been like, don't let this one experience, like, is this something that you think, because what, Joss has had to do sports medicine, you know, physical rehab and everything because of, remember whenever she messed up her volleyball, she's a kidney transplant recipient.
Right.
I mean, the girl has a ton of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Her sister having spina bifida.
Oh, wait, what?
Her boyfriend dying of cancer.
Oh, what?
Any of that might have inspired a medical career.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess that just covered Joss and Trina too at the end of the week.
Yeah. I mean, Trina basically said exactly what we're saying. Like, if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But I don't think the fact that you're not obsessed with it means that you're not passionate about it and that you should stop.
Or is she changing because Dex changed? You know, in which case that's even worse. Like, you don't just decide to change your job because you're love is changing their job too, and he's not even insinuating that she needs to.
Nope.
So yeah, I don't know. But then Christina went to have breakfast with, oh wait, hold it, didn't she go to see, nope, that was after she had breakfast with Molly and TJ.
Oh,
and
my
TJ
God.
Told her that she needs to stop seeing her side of the family.
Yeah.
I am so thankful that Molly is not going along with this.
Right. She stuck up for her and was like, you can't ask that of her. As much as she's carrying our baby, she's still a person. She has a life outside of this. And Sunny's been in our lives. Like, she just restated the same thing that she's told him like three times now. Sunny is my uncle. Sunny is Christina's dad. He's been around our whole lives. He does whatever he can to protect us. And she's not going to stop seeing him.
Right. I was very impressed with Christina staying calm and being like, okay, well, I'm going to leave now so that I'm home in time for my bedtime.
Right. Exactly.
And then she went to see Alexis. I don't like, okay, we've already had this situation with her. understanding that the baby's not hers. And we haven't seen her even remotely backtrack on that. And now I feel like they are. And I feel like it's normal. I don't know. I've never been a surrogate. I should have asked a friend that was a surrogate. Darn it. But then again, my friend who's a surrogate is still deeply connected with the family. Like the baby just turned two. And like she was there, you know? So, I mean, it was, but what part of you could not, and especially where the baby is actually related to her.
Right.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for Christina to be like, "Ah, you're getting my spunkiness or something, you know?"
Right.
My kids have things in common, you know, that are with people that are my sisters and stuff like that.
Yeah. I, especially with this being her first pregnancy, not that any pregnancy is the same as before, but you know, you've experienced things before. So this being her first pregnancy, feeling the baby move and being like, "Oh, what is that? Oh my gosh, you're kicking, blah, blah, blah." Or, you know, learning that the baby wakes up earlier than she does or whatever. Like that's all normal stuff that as a first time mom or first time being pregnant, you are mm-hmm. like, "Oh, what is that? Like, I don't know what that feeling is. You've never felt it before." And so I think it's wonderful that she's enjoying the pregnancy, because if she walked around being miserable the whole time, that would just be awful. Like that's a reason I would have never been a surrogate, even if I could have, because I hated being pregnant. I hated it.
So, I loved it.
Oh, I hated it every time. Hated it. So I think it's great that she's like enjoying this experience, and mm-hmm. and she should. Like she's doing an amazing thing. And so for them to be like, "Oh no, she's getting attached." Well, of course she's getting attached. Like
the baby is legit very attached to her right now. Like exactly. It is the most literal sense of the term.
But she's not talking. I mean, I know she said my baby at one point, but she's not talking about the baby like after the baby's here, she's going to do this and this and this. Like she's the mom or whatever. She's always saying TJ and Molly, they're mm-hmm. going to parents, they're going to do this. So it's just, I don't know why we have to make it a thing.
Well, and then we saw Alexis get concerned whenever she was talking about something. But then when she goes to Alexis's and is talking with Sam and Christina, and they're both kind of, you know, showing that concerned look, you know, the what's she doing here?
Right.
But then after Sam leaves, Alexis asked how the mommy to be is doing.
Right.
No. If Alexis had said that first and then it triggered Christina's thought process, but you're already showing concern that she might be thinking this. And then she said, because she said something about like, "And speaking of expectant mommies, how are you feeling?" Like she very, very, very clearly
yep.
put expectant mommy with Christina.
Yep.
Noah.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, Christina doesn't seem to have the lines blurred, in my opinion.
I don't think so either. I 100% agree. And then what's her name? Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
To introduce herself to Alexis and is concerned. This cracks me up. She's yeah. concerned that if Christina and Blaze are seen out and about town, they're going to assume that the baby Christina is carrying is theirs.
Right.
Because two women are not allowed to be hanging out.
Right.
If you are pregnant, you are not allowed to hang out with your girlfriends, because guess what? Everyone's going to automatically assume that the friend you're with is your lover and that those are like, that's your baby together.
Right. Right.
I was not aware that people were thinking that when I had lunch with my girlfriends when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, that made zero sense.
It made zero sense. And
everyone must have thought that when you came to Girl Scouts pregnant with Madeline, that we were having a massive group event. I didn't know that I was a part of that yet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm suing all you for some child support. It's been 11 years.
I feel like I paid mine off. I'll give you my hourly rate for the podcast and then we'll see where we are.
All right, there you go. It doesn't cross my mind. And the fact that Christina being a surrogate is not a secret. Like she's told anybody that asks, Molly and TJ have told anyone to ask. Their whole family knows. It's right. not like Molly is just going to show up one day with the baby and be like, oh yeah, this is my baby, and no one knows where it came from. So if a news outlet is reporting on Blaze because she's a celebrity, they have done the background check on Christina, and they're going to say, you may notice that Blaze's girlfriend is pregnant. She is doing this very unselfish thing of having the baby for her sister.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that I think that part of what Natalia was getting at is Christina's out, you know, and Blaze is, quote, not. But again,
you still have that lesbians that are not your girlfriend.
Right. But even if I was out with a pregnant friend who is a lesbian that is carrying a baby, I don't think like it's going to be automatically assumed that it's my baby too.
Right.
That we're together. No, that's
right.
That's a dumb assumption.
Yeah.
I think they were just really trying to show how prejudiced Natalia is.
Yes. She's very controlling and very just insensitive to her daughter's feelings.
Yeah.
I understand your kids make choices that you don't agree with, no matter what it has to do with, but you don't walk around and constantly try to change their mind and everyone's perception of it. At some point, you just have to be like, yeah, that's my kid and they're their own person and they're making choices that maybe I wouldn't have picked for them or I don't agree with, but it's their life. I mean, Blaze is not like a 14-year-old child who still needs guidance as far as what her relationship preference is. Like, I'm pretty sure she knows what she's doing by now.
Right. And she, like she told her mom, I have for a long time. I just knew I couldn't tell you.
Right.
You know, so that.
Yeah, I don't like that character at all. And it makes me so mad that it's one of my favorite All My Children actresses playing it, because that's so not her.
Oh, and then, okay, I have to say, I'm also super proud of Alexis. I don't know how she didn't jump over that desk and strangle her when yep. she said, Blaze is a star and Christina's just a bartender.
Yeah.
I really don't know how Alexis bit her tongue.
Right.
Even though she knows that would have been, yeah, she would have been doing that for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then Natalia was talking with Maxie about deception and calls Brooklyn a nepo baby.
Right, right. And she just like jumps around. Where was Maxie saying she didn't jump around from singing? Her throat was slashed. She could not sing.
Why did she not say that? Why did right. she not say, like, she was about to go on stage to perform and was attacked and her throat was cut?
Right. She didn't drop that career because it got boring. She dropped that career because she physically couldn't do it anymore.
Right. I mean, she alluded to it was definitely not her choice, but it also could have just been sickness. It also could have just been she wore out her vocal cord, you know, something like that. No, she right. definitely should have 100%.
Again, that's not a secret what happened. So I would have totally thrown it up in her face and been like, you should have done your research a little better, girlfriend, because she right. didn't quit that because she got bored with it. She quit because her throat was slashed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty powerful statement that then Natalia should have backed down and been like, oh, crap. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I didn't do my research well enough.
Right. So she's not. Okay. But the thing is, she is not entirely wrong on the core definition of a nepo baby being that basically you're able to succeed because your parents, your grandparents have already succeeded in that.
Right.
But it's also not like Brooklyn has not busted her butt,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she did not grow up with the Quartermain influence.
Right. Right.
Intentionally. She never had to want for anything. She never had to worry about, you know, she was able to focus on her passion instead of, you know, a lot of people aren't able to do that because they just have to pay the bills. She is lucky. She didn't have to do that. But I don't feel like she takes that for granted. She very specifically didn't even want to get back into deception just until Tracy kind of forced her, you know?
Right. Yep. Yeah. I just don't like Blaze's mom. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I don't like her.
I definitely think we're not supposed to. So they are doing a great job with that.
Yes.
And then
do you want to jump to Anna talking to Jason and being like, hey, I think that Valentine's not a good guy. And he's like, what? You seriously think that? And she's like, yeah, here's all my reasons why. And then it's like 5 seconds later, talk about the time jumps, that then you see her at the Metro Court and he's like, now that I shipped Charlotte back to school, you want to start hooking up again?
Have the new writers ever seen the show? I'm sorry.
Right?
It's like they came in and were like, you know what? This show's been on for 61 years. You know, it would be great if we changed absolutely everything about it.
Yep.
And destroyed history. I can almost handle when they rewrite certain backstories because it really has to have happened in order to establish a great storyline.
Right. And if they haven't said or done something that completely contradicts the possibility of that storyline and it's happened off screen, you're like, okay, like, sure, that may have happened. We didn't know that it happened, but now the plot is moving us this way. But when they
like Heather Weber and Ryan Chamberlain making Esme, it does not make sense, but they definitely made it happen off screen.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't a secret affair that was happening while they were both on screen. You know, it was, nope, this is what happened the last time you saw Ryan, like he was running away to that cabin and everything. Well, here's what happened when he got there, you know?
Right.
So it actually kind of continued his story.
But yeah, this Anna and Valentine just, it doesn't flow well. You just know that that's not how he was. He was in love with her for all that time. He was not working behind her back with Pikeman and doing all this bad stuff. And he's always concerned about protecting Charlotte, always. So he's been working with Pikeman while Charlotte's been in town. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm. Nope. So Anna went to debrief Jason
mm-hmm.
and admitted that her judgment is compromised when it comes to him.
Yes.
We see Valentine went to go see Brennan and they figure out that, gee, how did we get this guy to work for us? Because it should have been picked up. And they're like, well, it was definitely a 3-letter organization. It's just which one. It like that let Jason Matt or his backstory fleshed out for being right. Alan, whatever his name was. Because then when Anna and Jason were talking, they talked about Humes or Hamish, one of the two. And she was like, that's when Valentine went with Laura to go find Spencer. Is that when Valentine took her to Chechnya for that reason, right?
To find Nicholas.
Mm, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. But secretly what he was doing was this whole Pikeman thing.
Right. And she had no idea.
And she's like, he told me that he was there. Then you have this footage of him being here. And oh, you know what the absolute worst was? When Valentine said, I know how to manipulate Anna.
Yes.
And then that's when he asked her to get, no.
Right. She just kind of looked at him like, are you crazy? This can't start up again.
And the whole reason he's like, well, Charlotte's not even around anymore. Let's give this another shot. Your daughter tried to murder this woman.
Right. And this woman shot your child on accident. But again, I couldn't get over that.
Exactly. And her being in Switzerland doesn't matter.
Nope.
She's still your daughter. You still ended this relationship because of your daughter.
Yep.
Oh, and that was the hardest thing. And I really liked how Jason comforted Anna and was like, you can't say that I would not have done that.
Yeah.
You know, of course, he would like to think that he wouldn't have, but he's like, I wasn't there. He's like, and he was basically telling her, I know that you did not go out intentionally to shoot a child. So, like, it's reasonable to assume that Anna would also not shoot a child. It was an accident.
Right. It 100% was.
But so now Charlotte's back at her school in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So she and Jake are done?
I guess so.
Yeah, cool. Didn't have an ending to that one.
Nope. They could at least have said, which maybe they still will, but that they're like pen pals or something. But it also doesn't make sense that he sent her back to boarding school. There's like a month left of school. And then it's summer vacation. We're not going to have her around all summer?
Not if they do trimesters.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
I do think boarding schools do. Because we never saw the Quartermine boys come home from boarding school. I don't know. I didn't go to boarding school.
No?
No.
Me neither.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Then John came in to where Jason and Anna were talking and was kind of like, give me the scoop. What's going on here? Because I don't think they really disclosed anything important.
No.
It was just John reiterating to Jason that, like, hey, if you don't do what I say, Carly's the one that's going to get screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna saying that's not nice. Don't do that.
But then John goes to Carly and is like, I see you as a strong, independent woman. I can't believe that you did that. I see that you value your independence. And we're going to go back to, yes, but she definitely accepts free things from men.
Right. And Jason is different. Like, she didn't ask Jason to do that for her. He just went ahead and did it.
But neither did Sunny. Or she didn't ask Sunny, and Sunny offered.
Yeah, but Sunny, I agree with her that it was just to ease his conscience that he picked Nina. I wouldn't have taken it from him either. You gotta have a little bit of pride.
It was just a little weird, though, when she's like, I did it for him, not for me.
No. No, you did it for you, but I do understand her being willing to take it from him.
Like, there are definitely people that I can't argue with, and I know that. Like, my mm-hmm. father-in-law is one of them, and that was one of the most uncomfortable things for me to get used to, was how insanely generous they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was not used to that. I wasn't used to straight. And I think that was the thing about Jason, is she's like, there wasn't going to be any strings attached.
Right.
You know, and that's how my in-laws are. It's just like, oh, no, here.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I still, and I'll straight up tell them, and I'm like, you know that I want to argue with you, but I also know that I am not allowed to.
Right, so, right. At some point, it becomes disrespectful.
Right, exactly. And I'm just like, but you know that I don't expect this, or that I don't think that this is necessary. Like, this is absolutely, I expect nothing.
Right.
You know, it's, but they're just like insanely, I'm married into a great family.
Good.
Yes. Ooh, but then Jason... Oh, yeah. And then this was after. Okay, so wait, Jason and Anna met, and then Anna went to. Oh, yeah, because she was with Valentine when Jason texted her to go to the Brown Dogs. We have a new location.
Yep.
Brown Dog Bar.
Yep.
He's sitting there talking to Dex. And I love the way that he calmed him down was, listen, I promised Joss I wasn't going to let Sunny kill you. That also means I'm not going to.
Exactly. Exactly. You'll get the chance to do what you're supposed to do.
So Jason wanted to get info on Sunny from Dex, and Dex is like, yeah, he has changed a lot since I started working for him. Then Anna comes and she's like, oh, I didn't expect to see the two of you here together. Oh, by the way, Dex, here's your offer letter.
Yeah, I just happened to be carrying it on me.
Yeah. But so Dex is officially part of the PCPD.
Yay. I'd go to the park every day if our police cadets exercised there.
Only a couple of them.
The age appropriate ones.
Watch that. What are you doing? You're like bouncing all over the place.
Oh, sorry.
Not just the age appropriate. There's some that are age appropriate that I don't think I would want to see running around shirtless.
That's true too.
Not saying that that does not also go true for me. There's probably plenty of people that would not want to see me running around working out scantily clothed. So I'm not saying that I'm better than them.
No, nope. That's funny. But yeah, everybody was working out in the park this week.
Yeah. I'm surprised TJ didn't check the weight of Christina's weights.
I know. What were you doing working out? Even though she did that before she got pregnant. So it's totally healthy.
Right.
And then Carly went over to Sunny's to tell him that she was not going to let Donna go there any longer because he does not seem stable. And Ava's like, this is my house too. You need to remember that you can't just kind of walk in here. And Carly, I loved it, was like, yeah, I'll speak to my ex-husband, the father of my children, anytime that I want. Thank you. And it doesn't matter what you think. So I'll just sit here and wait for him. Thanks anyway.
And it then, just finally now occurred to Carly, though, as she's talking to him, like she said one thing and then she's like, oh, wait, this might mean you're not taking your meds. Carly, you've been around this enough.
Yep, that you should have expected it. But I did like that she finally made the connection. I was waiting for her to say, though, are you sure that Ava didn't mess with your pills? Like, she didn't take any to examine herself. That's mm-hmm. what I was expecting her to take one and say, I'm going to have it tested, because she didn't just take Morgan's pills. She swapped them out for placebos because he thought he was taking his meds and he wasn't getting any effect from them. So for her to be doing the same thing to Sunny is totally realistic. The only way to know that would be to test a med, though.
She did say she was going to check to see if he was taking them. But did we see anything after that?
No, she opened them. She didn't count them, but she opened them and saw that there was a decent amount missing. And then she left them on the fireplace mantle. She didn't take any with her to get checked.
Yeah. Sorry, my back.
Oh, that's okay. That's why I was moving whenever you were talking about me bouncing. So I wasn't comfy the way I was laying in my bed. Anyway, so yeah, I just thought it was really weird that she wasn't like, I'm taking one of these and getting them analyzed.
Right.
And then Ava was right there being like, I can't believe that she would keep your child from you. That's ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. Playing right into, you know, making sure that they were even more connected.
Right. And this is what I'm saying. Like, this makes zero sense because Ava's over that.
Yeah.
Like, she's afraid of Sonny.
Right. She should be afraid of him. And when he's off his meds, he goes crazy.
But like, she has tested him.
Mm-hmm.
But she is definitely seen what happens when that happens, and for years she has just been like, all right, we're just gonna get along, you know. And she's been the one trying to get him to be calmed down, and fair enough, he's like, yeah, so you kind of killed my son and, you know, all these other things,
right?
It's good that they got to the place that they got to, but for it to be a manipulation by Ava, I don't know, it's making no sense.
Yeah, if they're going to fall in love again, then have them just fall in love again regularly. Don't make it.
They were never in love.
Well, if they're going to fall in love this time to end up being intimate instead of like last time, then have him be in good terms for that.
Right. Although she is definitely moving in because the books by the door on the mantle were about contemporary artists.
Oh, okay. Good catch.
Yeah. Could not see the books that were behind Drew and Nina. To be fair, I actually, mini reality check, I had to get a new TV this week because mine just decided to start looking like DOS programming. And so I watched it as much as I could with like the green lines all over the place. And that's when that was happening. But I forgot to go back.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. I like, you could audibly hear me go, ugh, whenever they started that again.
Oh no, I saw that. I just couldn't read the books.
You didn't need to catch any of it because it was just ew. And then Willow comes knocking on the door and they're like, oh, sorry, we were so busy doing our work that we didn't hear you knock on the door three times. Like, come on.
Right. And you're sitting right there.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, yeah. So they went at it again. And then when Willow finally comes back, earlier, Drew had offered her the position of a spokesperson for an organization that she has no affiliation with, does not know anything about, because she had a bone or a stem cell.
Yeah.
Transplant. Like, stem cell saved her life, which is absolutely fantastic. But if this organization has the money to hire an organization like Aurora for PR, I feel like that means that they've had some, I don't know, success, and probably have their own success stories and probably have their own people that can actually attest to the work that this organization does, not just somebody that is handed it to them because, oh, you also did this, but you went through a different company, so why don't you speak for us? That is so, no, like right. That is 100% something like that has to go to a family that, or a person that worked through this organization, that has experience specifically with this organization.
And they would probably be so thankful for the medicine that they received and the fact that they're okay, that they would do it for free or for just some more medicine or whatever. Instead, with Willow, they're like, he's like, I don't know how much money they'd be willing to pay you, because, you know, they want to keep the money going back into the company. Well, how much money are they paying you, Drew, that they reached out to you even?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they had to have already had success. That means that they have treated people. So they need to take those stories and maybe find one person that is then the spokesperson, because she has zero experience with this company.
Exactly.
And I was glad that, I guess, so that's when she came back to talk to Drew, was to learn more about the company. Why wasn't that your first follow-up question? Sure. Can you give me their materials? Can you give me their website? Mm-hmm. Where can I get more information? Because companies can be doing the same line of work that you are supportive of, but there are definitely organizations that don't do it in a way that is actually supported and approved by the people that it actually impacts. Is that vague enough? Is that good enough? Is that
good? That's good.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's, I can't go suddenly. This is kind of like what I was talking about with my daughter. Like, yes, I can only advocate for her, but I really don't want to be the one that's speaking for her. You know, I'm trying to teach her how to advocate herself and become educated in the things that she needs to be doing, you know, the services that she needs and the things that she needs to be successful in life, whatever that might be.
Right.
You know, I want her to be the one talking about it.
Right.
But at least I have been along for the journey of experiencing the different organizations and the impacts that they've had. I'm not going to go suddenly. I can't even think of anything off the top of my head. Okay. So my father-in-law and brother-in-law and my father-in-law's brother, so I guess my uncle-in-law, all have neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go be a spokesperson for a neuropathy organization. Yeah. If there's neuropathy organizations, I don't know. But like, that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Willow has experienced the benefits of the work that this company is doing, but there's no information. Sorry.
Yeah. It was just absurd. And then Drew hears Nina take a phone call from the senator, and he's like, I want to come with you. And she's like, okay, you can come with me as long as you help me continue getting closer to Willow. Like, what?
So that was Congressman Congressman something, Nina Andrew. McConkey. There we go. He was Chandler's boss on Friends.
Oh, that's nice.
But he was bad. He was a jerk. He was very, very like sexist and made like the rude, inappropriate jokes. And yeah, he was not like it wasn't like he was a good boss. But as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, so he is friends with Nina's dad, was friends with Nina's dad.
Right. We've never heard about this connection before. It just comes out, and she's going to go visit him. And then Drew insists on going too. And Drew's like, hey, I have a great project that you have to get involved in. And the congressman is like, actually, I'm not starting anything new because I need to make a statement that I have cancer and I'm not
Stage four,
cancer. Not going to be around too much longer, blah, blah, blah. And Nina's like, oh, okay. And Drew's like, no, wait, seriously, here, you need to do this because I'm asking you to. It'll help everyone out. It can be the legacy that you leave behind. And then the congressman is like, oh, wait, okay, I won't kick you out right now. Here, tell me more.
Apparently, there's two peers that have been underutilized. Are they taking away our peer? If they take away our peer, I'm going to be so mad.
No, they're going to make it better.
I don't think we're one of the peers that's underutilized, though.
No, but if they're taking us, then they're going to start utilizing us even more.
Unless they're only going to start using these two new peers.
No, I refuse that. Thanks anyway.
I know. I mean, people have to go to, oh no. Oh my God. They just got rid of Spoon Island.
Yeah.
There's no one going to be going to Spoon Island now. Oh wait, didn't Pikeman buy that?
Yes.
Do we know that? Or we don't know that. We think that.
Right.
So we never actually discovered who bought Spoon Island.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Wasn't it Nicholas? Hold on. Didn't Nicholas buy it?
We thought that Nicholas bought it using a shell company, but they never told us that.
That's right.
It does make sense that it could have been Pikeman, because Pikeman would want to keep like the catacombs and all that stuff secret.
That's right. Which would be Valentine. And okay. So let's back this all up then. Valentine came to Port Charles to claim his Cassadine inheritance and everything. And now he finally gets Spoon Island. Okay.
But he's not having it for him. It's going to be for some corporation.
Right. Ugh, okay. I'm so confused.
I mean, it's so
I also hope the congressman had done more good works in his tenure than just revitalizing two piers, and that's going to be what makes everyone so impressed. And right. The fact that you're doing it on your deathbed, like you had a last minute, oh, hey, I've been doing bad stuff this whole time. Maybe I should do something good. No, you should have already been doing good with your office. And this should just be like, this was his last final project that he wanted among all the others that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Nope. And he even asked Drew, like, why are you trying to be part of this? Like, are you going to just take that property and sell it afterwards? And Drew's like, no, I would never do that. And Nina's like, no, he's a hard businessman, but he always makes the right choice, or something stupid like that in the end about, of course you can trust him.
So I'm guessing Drew is probably going to want to build one of his new gyms.
Oh, there you go.
There. Except for, you know what would have been a better storyline is bringing awareness to the fact that people with disabilities, physical disabilities, and intellectual can also exercise and benefit from gyms. And it would have been great to see Curtis struggling with, man, I really just want to be able to do this again, because then he did go to the gym and met Devin. And then he could have gone to Drew and said, hey, I have this great idea. We need to bring awareness to, you know, making things more accessible. And hey, what if we create a gym, a fitness facility that is sensory friendly, that is more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have, hey, Curtis, now that you're up and walking around again and you weren't able to do anything before.
Yeah. Let's build up your strength.
Storyline on making things adaptive.
Right. It would have been wonderful. Like we said last time when they were like, I don't want to say making fun, but like making fun of him.
They are 100% making fun of the fact that he was in a wheelchair. I'm sorry. They're mocking him. They're making it sound like he had, yep, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So they need to stop doing that and show what he is able to do. Like you said, especially since he met the other guy in the wheelchair, that would have been wonderful to go back to him and be like, hey, what are things that you've seen or other gyms that you've been to that are accessible to everyone? Well, how could we improve and then create that type of gym? That would be amazing.
Yep. But no.
And you hear about the kids taking swim lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It could be there even.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you think that they're setting up that Willow might have a crush on Drew?
Oh, I hope not.
Have you been picking up on that, though, that she's been like...
I see she does really admire him, but I'm hoping that that's just because he's a good guy, not that she's developing feelings.
She is Nina's daughter, so that would fall in line with the we gotta sleep with the mother-daughter combo.
No.
I honestly... Okay, that was one of the most... Michael and Willow almost getting walked in on, and Cody having to...
be like, that was good.
Oh, no, we are not bringing them anything to the bedroom. You know, like, let's go back upstairs.
Yes, that was funny. And that the older kids were kind of like, oh, but the younger kids are like, why?
Yep.
That was great.
But then, so they were at the Quartermain Mansion. They went down to the, Willow had just come off her shift. And this is annoying too. She's like, I'm just getting off at 12. I have to go pick up the kids. Like, you're the only nurse that has kids.
Right.
And then that doctor...
It wasn't even, I have to pick up the kids. It was, I need to spend time with the kids. But she wasn't really going home to spend time with the kids. She was going to bed.
Right. And that doctor kept calling, looking for Liz. Then Liz calls, and Willow does not even tell her that this doctor has been calling incessantly looking for her.
Right.
But Aiden needed picked up. And so Willow was like, "Woo! I don't have to do my job now because I have to go pick up Aiden. Yay me."
Yeah. And then she doesn't need to take him home. She just brings him to the Quartermain mansion. And that's where he's helping Sasha, which was cute, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha got the job. Tracy finally was like, okay.
She made Tetrazzini and had all the men try it. Michael is surprised that the woman that they lived together, right? Did Michael and Sasha live together?
I don't remember.
Did Michael and Sasha? You're going to hate the fact that I am. Well, I guess I Google on my phone all the time, too.
Yeah.
Oh. So they were together for just over 2 years. You're telling me that she never once cooked for him?
Right.
Why do I feel... I mean, they were definitely together a lot. So even if they didn't live exactly together...
Right. They were together constantly. So there's no way that she hadn't made a dinner for him.
But he's like... And she is such an old-fashioned...
Mm-hmm.
She's not someone that always has to be taken out. You know, like, she's definitely a homebody. She's definitely someone who likes...
Right.
Being at home. And you're telling me that she never once made him dinner. And he's like, who knew Sasha was so talented?
Right. I thought she could just stand there and be a model.
Right. I thought she was just pretty. I thought we could just look at her for a little bit. But then Aiden was there and Tracy told him to go get the cookbook and flip to any page. And that's what Sasha was going to make. And he accidentally opened up to a page that needed pate. And Olivia's like, seriously, you think the kids are going to like that? Like, that's, you're absolutely setting her up for failure on this.
Yeah.
And then he picked one that, I think it's more like a stew. I forget what the, pot-au-feu. And Sasha's struggling with knowing how to make it. And Cody's like, why don't you look on your phone? Gee, I don't know. Why don't you look in the exact cookbook that recipe right. was taken out of?
Right. Exactly. I didn't know that cookbooks or cell phone cookbooks existed. What? I thought I just had to have it memorized.
But also there are, I mean, you can have the same dish and it be made so many different ways.
Right.
If someone is telling you that's one of my favorite recipes, then you need to be looking in that book. Even if it's something you do know how to make, you need to be looking at it, because what if your version is
different? Yep.
Like, so different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then Tracy told her that she didn't have to make it anymore because everyone was so happy with lunch, I guess. And so Olivia told her that she needed more oregano and basil in her tetrazzini. But other than that, she's hired. And it was right after Cody and Sasha were talking. She's freaking out because she's like, there's no way that my meal was good enough that Olivia's... To be fair, she's like, why did I make a pasta dish that Olivia probably like makes homemade noodles for? You know, like, she probably right. can make it in her sleep. Like, she should have made something, at least in her mind. She's like, I should have made something that was probably not Italian.
Right.
But she was nervous about, quote, measuring up. And then Cody's like, listen, even if you don't get the job, if you need somewhere to stay, you can stay up in my bedroom and I'll sleep down here. And she runs over and kisses him.
Yep. After all this time.
None of that was new information. Nope. There was no. Why are they doing this?
I don't know. It's like everyone said that they were ready for this to happen and we're tired of them dragging it out. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll just have it happen now. And it's like, wait, you could have written a little bit of a storyline to go with it.
Yeah.
Not just, you can live here. Okay, I'm going to grab your face and kiss you.
Or have them at least sitting side by side, like on the couch, and she's freaking out and he just puts his arm around her and, you know, she's just like, I really don't know what I'm gonna do, you know, my money is running out, you know. And have her, that sounds like he's taking advantage of her, but, you know, they have already had that conversation. And then have her, like, have him be soft to her,
right?
And have her respond like, man, he really does care about me.
Yeah, instead he like made it like a joke, like, you can move in with me, or if you want to share a bed, we can.
Yeah. But yeah, so she got the job. She's going to be the cook.
Mm-hmm. And
it was like, I don't know what's going on here, but there's not going to be any tiptoeing up to Sasha's bedroom.
Exactly.
But you guys are cute.
They are cute. So was there anything else? I feel like we got everything. This week wasn't there happening.
There is. There's, Felicia telling Willow that she could not have worked the hours that she did when she had the girls. She's correct. She worked more and she just left them.
Yeah.
You know, she just left them with Mac. What she should have said is, I couldn't have worked the hours that you do and still be a mom, because she did not raise her kids.
Right.
Mac did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Willow corrected. She said something about Melanie to somebody who would have known who Melanie was. And it's like she corrected herself by the nanny having a name. Right. The nanny being a person. Like the way that she said it, it was like, the nanny. Oh, and then, something happened. Okay, so Aiden brought cupcakes in for Amy's birthday off screen. And Liz thinks that he's being picked on.
I don't know. I don't know why she thinks that.
Because he was picked on when he was little and he just came out.
Yeah, but I feel like he would tell her now. They have a better relationship. And it was Charlotte that had picked on him.
Yeah.
Charlotte's gone.
Yeah, but that was then. I mean, you can have more than one bully, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn was practicing her pitch on the kids and was not getting it. And then Lois.
Yes, that did happen. That was great.
Well, because Maxie had to reach out to Scott and was like, Lucy's a nightmare. I need your help. She is not. This is not going well. Scott comes in and Lucy's like, what are you talking about? I got so many more followers. We got so many sales because of me, blah, 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 blah. Scott's like, actually, people didn't order until Sasha was on screen. So we can actually see those numbers.
Right.
It was not.
Not and good.
So I guess Lois is going to be the new. So she's not going to be the face of deception because that's Blaze.
Right. Just the new spokeswoman.
So what is she going to, but
She did do awesome, though. She's like, hold it like this, put a little bit like this. And she used like the perfect words of how luscious it was and how it smelled divine. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we'll have Lois around for a while longer. So I am all for it.
That was my first thought. I'm like, sweet, you're staying. Is she on opening credits?
I think so.
I can't think right now. I think she is, too. And then Nina told Maxie about her and Drew.
Right. It just keeps happening.
Maxie's like, what? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I think that actually might be it. Oh, Dante and Sam.
Oh, yeah, because Sunny came over and brought the gloves.
Mm-hmm. And apparently Dante is just now thinking, or his first thought with, what was his first thought with Dex was, how is this going to hurt my dad?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I was stopped thinking like a cop and was thinking like a son.
Right. And he was feeling
bad. And now he's talking about like, should I even still be a cop?
And Sam's like, get over it. You haven't compromised anything. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that might be it. Yep.
Okay.
Do-do-do. Reality check.
So what's your reality check?
Oh my gosh. This week was just like so stressful. There's a reason I didn't get into healthcare. I am not... I'm not a nurse. I don't play one on TV. And this week I've had to give Ryan his antibiotics through his PICC line and clean and repack the wound on his foot. And yeah, I mean, I guess I've been doing a good job. He's not dead. So I guess that's good.
Sweet.
But yeah, I know like everyone talks about how there's issues with our healthcare system. I guess I just never realized that they leave so much for the individual person to do, like medically. Like you and I have talked about how with your daughter's issues and my daughter's issues, how you have to advocate for yourself and find services and all that kind of stuff. And I get that that's ridiculous, but that just feels less medical than like I am physically injecting him with his antibiotics through his PICC line. And they're like, make sure you get all the air out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm terrified. This is not okay.
Right. So. Question. What if you couldn't do that? What if he was by himself? What if...
So they can put an extension on the tubes that come out that would make it long enough that he could hold on to it and do it himself. But if he was like elderly and couldn't do it, then he'd have to pay out of pocket for a home health nurse to come. Like they do come once or twice a week because they have to do a blood draw and just to check and make sure everything's okay and to change like the bandaging that goes around the PICC line.
Mm-hmm.
But on a day-to-day basis, you have to do it yourself. I have a friend that'll do it or pay for it out of pocket beyond those two visits.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and like the PIP
line. I'm speechless. I'm sorry. I'm just like, it's, you medically need this for to live.
Right.
But we're not going to cover it at all. Like there would not be any type of like, I can understand a copay. So like there's not even a copay. Like if you were to have somebody come in where it's like $50.
Beyond this two visits, it is out of pocket. So, and like the
getting the meds works for, but he works for.
He does. He works for one.
Yep. So he has great coverage.
Yep. He works for one of the major medical health systems in the Pittsburgh region. And he has the top tier of their insurance because he is diabetic. And so he knew, like, you know, there would be care going forward when he was diagnosed a year or 2 years ago. And so he upped to like their gold standard plan so that he would have the best coverage and whatever. But It is still only those two visits. And like the PIC line, it's time consuming and it's scary because I have the fear that if I do it wrong, I'm going to hurt him. But it is pretty like self-explanatory once they run through it and explain why you're doing the steps that you're doing or whatever. But like the wound on his foot, like, yeah, there's no way that he could move himself around to be able to do this effectively himself. And it's supposed to be done at least once a day. Also, it's not like, oh, every 3 days and then the nurse would come or whatever. So that's that. And then, yeah, as the day that he was being discharged, Megan had been admitted to the hospital the day before, a different hospital, and was also being discharged. So we're still getting test results back from her to try to figure out what exactly caused her extremely high blood pressure issue. And so, yeah, I just feel like I've been thrown into this medical world that I am not a part of and I never wanted to be a part of. I have so much respect for nurses and doctors, but I just, nope, it was not my calling. So That's that. So yeah, that's been my week, is taking care of him and trying to make sure that Megan is okay. Also, she went to her dad's for a few days, but we did have a nice occasion. Yesterday was their great grandma's 90th birthday. And so We went, my ex came and I went and Matt came and all the girls we had and everything. So it was very nice to get to catch up with some family that I hadn't seen in a while from his side. And they got some really cute pictures of like all the grandkids together and great grandkids together with. So very sweet.
That's good.
Yeah. But that was that. How about you? How about your week? You were playing Doctor Who.
Yep. So Wednesday after, so my daughter's wisdom teeth are pretty much healing. Like she started eating regular foods again. I think Tuesday she had a hot dog, you know, she was just trying really hard not to, because one of her sockets was not healing as quickly as the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So she was very cautious to have to eat anything that would like be too big, like make her open her mouth a little too much. So she probably stuck on the soft foods longer than most people need to, but I was happy that she made that decision that she didn't want to chance it. I was like, good call, girl.
Right.
But then Wednesday night, my aunt was playing softball and busted her knee. And so I spent the night in the ER and we were the comic relief for everybody. So that was fun. And she got an MRI on Friday. And so we're just waiting to see what's going on. And pretty much she hasn't left downstairs though. So that kind of stinks. She's a very, very active person. So this is not easy for her at all.
Right.
But she at least has like a good group, like that softball league and everything. Like they've been checking on her every day. And Friday they text her. They're like, you should come to the bar for a drink. She's like, I can't move. But so like they are, you know, they're checking in on her and everything. My son came home Friday for the summer, but it was just JD and my daughter went to go get him because I stayed home with my aunt. But it was nice. It was a nice day out. And so I took, because she's right now down in the basement and hasn't been ready for steps yet. And so I was like, listen, it's really, really nice. If you want to figure out, like, we can get you around back and go But I have a pretty, like, she'd have to go, it would be a long, long, long walk for her.
Yeah.
And so instead, I went up and grabbed the lounge chairs and put them in the driveway. Well, we are getting a French drain put in the garage this week. So we got one of those storage pods.
Yeah.
That is in the driveway because we have to empty out the garage. And if you're in Pittsburgh, you don't actually use your garage for your car. Use it as another living space, and not a living space, but you know what I mean. But so it's packed with stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to move everything in there. And so we sat like behind it in the driveway, just staring at it. And I'm like, well, it's the shortest walk for you. So, but we got to spend some time outside. So
that's good.
I'm hoping that it gets easier, you know, and that it's not too, too bad. That,
yeah.
Praying for no surgery.
Right.
But everything on Google is not looking that way, but we'll see, I guess. So, yeah. And then my son's home.
Yay.
I think that's really it. I mean, and then I worked in between all that.
Ugh.
And then started the process of replacing two providers for my daughter. So, yay. Mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah.
Next week will hopefully be more interesting for us.
I hope. Or maybe less interesting. I'm not sure. Right. The right way to word that.
It's always better whenever it's a, nope, sorry. I can't, I got nothing. I just worked.
Yep. I would rather be boring.
What's not boring, though, is the friendship between Nina and Ava.
That's true. I cannot wait to go over that and just how crazy it is that they even attempted a friendship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, just yawn. But yeah, join us on Thursday as we talk more about that.
Have a good week.
And we'll meet at the pier.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's show, we invite you to go to pier54podcast.com to subscribe on your favorite platform. Don't forget to leave us a review. And you can also follow us on many social media channels. Just search for Pier 54 Podcast. Also, we are not perfect, so if there is something that we missed or messed up, just let us know by emailing us at pier54podcast@gmail.com.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.